God of creation. This morning on our way here, we saw two dead creatures on the roadside. One was in the center of the road, so my wife saw it. Oh, she's gone. Oh, I can talk all night. Like. A dead porcupine. And the other was a dead magpie, a young magpie, and its mother on the side of the road, and its mother was still there looking at her dead young. And there's got to be a lesson there, too. And not everybody's interested in the lessons that... Is that clock stopped? Okay, I'm going to have to borrow something else. Are you, yeah? You got a watch? A big watch that I can see. You got one? Thank you.
You bet.
Now, how do I interpret that?
Oh, let's see.
I mean, it's got all kinds of...
11:52. Almost.
Almost time to quit?
Oh. It's 4 minutes past.
Oh, good. That's nice. 40 minutes fast. That's good. Who said that? Anybody who would like to come to our place to see what I think is another marvelous thing, that just first time, a couple of weeks ago, a monarch butterfly. You've heard of the famous monarch butterfly? I saw a pair, at least a pair, or maybe a couple, and there, this at a spot in our yard where we have some milkweed growing. They need milkweed. And I phoned the Devonian Botanical Garden because they have a butterfly enclosure after many calls to get through. I finally did get through, and a lady graciously, who's involved in butterflies, graciously explained to me my question about the monarch. Now, we've been where we are 17 years. In the course of that 17 years, I've seen the monarch twice at our place. And until June, that's the third time. And there were a pair of them. And and to me, it's a marvel. I like seeing the monarch. I'm not going to tell the story about the monarch, but at all events, I saw the pair, they mated, and the male flew away, the female stayed for a bit, and I presume I've seen her again, was depositing her eggs on the undersides of the milkweed. And so this gal from, my question was to the lady at Devonian Garden. I understand that when they leave Mexico, they move forward by stages. One will move forward, one layer, one row, the adults that overwinter there, and they lay their eggs, like I was just talking about. And in 6 weeks' time, the young that hatch will move forward north. And by the time they get here, it's the fourth, not layer, but fourth generation. It's the fourth generation. And then this generation that's here then heads back to Mexico to winter. And so I'm looking at the generation. No, I'm not. I'm looking at the second to last generation, the next generation, which I, I'm going to look for the egg, the larva, the pupa, the chrysalis, and the adult. That one will fly back to Mexico. It's fascinating, as well as the beauty of the monarch butterfly. They have their territories. I see them fly, disappear, and come back. You know, it's a beautiful thing. And I can show you, every time I go there, I wait a minute or two, I see the monarch butterfly. You want to see the monarch butterfly, you're more than welcome. So she told me to phone the, whatever you call them, radio station, TV station, Global, or CBC, because they are conducting research into how they got here and so on. So I phoned, and you know, the tremendous reception I got, she said, would you mind repeating that? Obviously, I was in contact with somebody who didn't care a hoot about the monarch butterfly. So maybe you're not interested either. That's fine. That's fine by me. Now, I have another nature story to tell. And just one story, one more story, and one more lesson. Just one lesson. It's that's why I borrowed this toonie. Is it toonie or loonie? It's a 25-cent piece. I got another one. Well, what do you know? What did you lend me? Was it a toonie or a loonie? I didn't know I had it in my pocket. I bet I had the loonie and you don't lent me a toonie. Anyhow, I'll give you a toonie back for lending it to me. Oh, dear. All right. This represents, this toonie, can you see it? It represents the size of the size, circumference, diameter, whatever you like, of the trunk of a jack pine. Now, a jack pine has to be at least this high to be this big. And 17 years ago, there was a jack pine this high, 3 feet, 4 feet. That was where, when we were digging the hole to build our house in the side of the hill at where we live, north of Gibbons, there was a jack pine. And there were lots of other jack pines because we're on the sand hill all around. And I thought, do I leave that jack pine there? It's in the way. When we built our house at Jean Côté 60 years ago, something like that, 50-something, I left some poplar trees that were that size by the house. And they became a pain. So eventually I had to cut them down. So that same thought went through my mind. Do I leave that jack pine? Now, I know that some of you don't know what a jack pine is. A jack pine and spruce tree are all the same to you. That's okay. I mean, our interests are different. And I know what I'm saying to be true because I've talked to a few people who called that a spruce tree, and they called the spruce tree a jack pine. But so what? It's an evergreen tree. And that 17 years ago, that jack pine was about three and a half feet high and the size of a toonie in diameter. So what? Well, did you folks see the jack pine? Have you ever noticed the jack pine that was planted in the churchyard? Ask Serge about that. He came to our place, dug it up, and planted it. Now, that wasn't quite 17 years ago, I don't think. I think it was maybe 10 years ago. And it was a little bigger than that. Oh, no, about the same, about that size. And today, it's that size, see? But 3 inches. It was 3 feet high, or four, and now it's seven. I just finished measuring an hour ago. And Serge saw me looking at this jack vine, walking around, putting my hand around it, and I'm sure he was very puzzled. And his comments were, "It's a tough little tree. It survived without water and without care. It's a tough little tree." I want to tell you something. That 3-4 foot tree at my place, the same that as that was 10 years ago outside, is now this tall. Add another one of this. This stick is 14 feet. Add another one to the top, and that's how tall that jack vine that I left at our house is. Okay. So 14 plus 14, that's too much mathematics for me to figure out. Oh, a voice from the rear said 28. All right, 28 feet high. This toonie, oh, now it's a loony. But anyhow. This toonie, loony, whatever, has become this big in diameter. 28 feet high, and how big is that across? It's almost a saw log. I won't put it in my new sawmill. I won't put it in it. That's, it must be 12, 13 inches in diameter, right? Okay, now compare that with that jack pine outside that's this big in diameter, and they're the same age. The same age. How come? Well, Elizabeth read the Psalm 1, and I want to take that one verse about it. Verse 3, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water." That tree at my house was in the way of construction. It's about five feet away, 6 feet away, this far. You know what 6 feet is? How many centimeters? Never mind centimeters. I come the inch age. I don't come from the centimeter age. This far away from the house. Its branches are now over the deck. It's right by the deck. Its branches are over the deck, and some of its branches are this long. I forget how long I said that was. Do you remember? 14? 14 feet? Okay. Its branches, one of the branches hanging over the deck is 14 feet long. And it's getting longer every year. And other branches around it are the same. Now, choice. I don't know what your choice would be. My choice would be, if I had the choice, to be like the tree I described that's by the house, that's now 28 feet high, 16, how many inches did I say that was? 14 inches in diameter, rather than that the one up there. Now that's a nice looking tree. I walked over, this isn't bad. It grows like a jack pine. It looks like a jack pine, and it's pleasant to see. It's great. It's a living thing. It's alive. But give me the one that's growing over my deck any day. That's 28 feet high. And I want just to share this one thing with you. This verse that we read, that I read, is describing a tree, a person, rather, who's like this tree. And what person is that? This is the very first psalm in the book of Psalms. Blessed is the man. Now, I don't know if you say blessed or blessed, but you can pronounce it whichever way you like. What's it mean to be blessed? A day or two ago, there was the largest, biggest lottery in Canada that's ever happened in Canada. I understand. $100 million jackpine pot. Jackpot. Well, even Al laughed. $100 million. And a couple of the commentators said about that, your chance of winning the jackpot are, and you get 1 in 28 million. And I thought, 1 in 28 million, how much is 28 million? Suppose I was, just to help me appreciate what there is to appreciate. Suppose it's loonies, toonies, triplets, or whatever they are now, and they're in a pot, kind of a big pot, but anyhow, there they are, or maybe even pieces of paper, maybe even bean seeds. Let's take bean seed, and you pick one up and you put it there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. What comes next? And you do that. Suppose you can do 1,000. 1,000 in an hour? No. Can you count 1,000? Can you count 1,000 an hour? Okay. Let's say 1,000 in a minute. Can you count 1,000 in a minute? Your hand really has to go pretty fast. 24 minutes to an hour? No, 24 minutes to something. 60 minutes to an hour. All right. Oh, it's changed. Or is that the same as when I was a lad? Yeah, sixty minutes to the hour. Okay. And you're working round the clock, you know. And so in 24 hours, do you know, I added it up and I've forgotten. I've forgotten how long. But I think it takes you, would take me, if I could do 1,000 a minute, it would take me, maybe you might do 1,050 a minute, you might even be 2,000. But you multiply and multiply and multiply and multiply, 1,000 by a minute, then a minute by 24 to get, is it 24? No, it's 60. 60 minutes to hour, and 24 hours to a day. And it take 4 days to get to, oh, I forget what it gets to now. I should have written it down. 4 days to get 28 million? No, it take about 6 months to get to 28 million. I see some of you have got out those boxes that take pictures, and you can talk like a telephone, and I obviously can do arithmetic. What marvelous thing to live today. Anyhow, can you imagine you and I sitting or standing or lying or gasping, whatever, counting beans for 6 months, and the chance to pick it up, the one that's gold, would be, it take that long, 128 million. Well, okay, people are have dived into that scheme of getting rich fast. But just suppose that every time you dove into the bean pot, you got the gold one. Every time. Every time. And you did that for 6 months. You'd have enough money, almost anyhow, to go from here to California, wouldn't you? More than once. The first word in this psalm says, blessed, blessed is the man. Not who buys a lottery ticket and makes 28 million. God doesn't work that way. But blessed now. Every time his hand goes into the bean pot, it comes out a gold one. Who? The one who does not, and there are three words used here, walk, stand, sit, and you could preach a sermon on those three words. I'm not going to. But who does not, is not a part of the world, of the ways of the world, the people of the world, the activities of the world, the speech of the world, the life of the world, the thoughts and desires and intents and purposes of even the best living person of the world. Blessed is the man who, or woman, or young person, or child, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Well, that's got to talk about a remarkable person. Who could do that? Who would do that? Who is doing that? The psalmist, whoever the psalmist was, is saying that there are some who are blessed of God, who delight in him. Delight. Somebody gave me a cup. I wanted to bring it this morning, and I looked for it, and it's in the dishwasher, so I couldn't. It says, delight yourself in the Lord. Delight? I mean, I delight, well, in looking at these flowers, wherever they are. I delight in the colors of them. They're not black owl, but they're one of the other colors that you like. Although, to look at you, I haven't seen any other color much. But they're a delight to look at. Some people can smell them. I can't. But some people have walked in their house and said, oh, what a beautiful aroma coming from a grapefruit tree that we have, the flowers in that. I wish I could smell them, but I can't. Whose delight is in the law of the Lord, the Word of God. Whose delight, who takes pleasure. He doesn't go to church like my neighbor once said, you're 80. That's a long time ago when I was 80, isn't it? My birthday in 9 days, you guys. We're racing hard to catch up to my wife, and I've tried for 60 years, and I haven't succeeded. I don't know where I was. Let me see. Let me think fast. My neighbor. Oh, my neighbor said, why are you, haven't you learned it all yet? But I tried to explain to him my delight. I delight being where the Word of God is taught, preached, loved, and with people who are the same thought. Now, that isn't natural. I admit it's not natural. It's not natural. I can remember when I was a kid, about 14 or 15, just a few months before I became a Christian. I can remember standing at the street corner in Windsor, Ontario, and standing there in the evening, and the fellow I was standing with him, I don't even remember him, but I just remember what he said. He said, "That's my dad sitting on the porch of the house across the street." He said, "He's reading his Bible. He's always reading it." And I thought, what a peculiar thing to do. And I was brought up in a good home. They weren't godly until I was 12. But I was brought up in a home that appreciated the values of the Christian life. And I still thought, yeah, that's a strange thing to do, to be taking delight in the Word of God. It's not natural. It doesn't come from within. Until and unless God plants His nature within. Just like those pictures we were looking at a few minutes ago. I saw some of them even as a kid. Moody Bible Institute, I think it was called, showed, I forget what the films were called, but they showed some films of an opening, flower opening, tree, beans sprouting, wiggling their way up to the through the air. It's intriguing, even today for me. Now, when God plants His seed in our heart, then and then only does it become a delight. Now, let me see. A friend gave me, what's that, give or lent, this watch. Now, I have to put my glasses on to read it, I think. I think maybe I should get somebody to stand every minute. Eh? 12:13, 1 minute from now, is 12:12, right? 12:13. All right, I'll be done pretty fast. Because there is a lesson here, believe it or not. There is a lesson for it. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates on it. He is like the jack pine. Well, why did that jack pine grow at my place 28 feet tall and 14 inches, 12 inches in diameter? Why did it grow when that jack pine outside is 7 feet tall and 3 inches in diameter, or maybe 2.5? How big is this toonie? Well, it's not grown. Anyhow, what's the difference? We're on a hillside, sand hill, and the jack pine is at the bottom end, in this case south, of our house, at bottom corner, southwest corner. The rain comes and hits our roof, and it doesn't go through an eaves trough, it just rolls right off, and wherever it hits the ground, it rolls right past that tree, flows right past that tree. That's the only thing I can think of. I don't water it. I never watered it. I don't put a fence around it like I have for some of the trees, because those pesky moose, pesky deer, that pesky is not the word I use. I look out the windows all the time to try to see them. They were there last night, but I didn't see them. I haven't got night vision yet. Besides, I like to sleep at night. But the water goes by that tree. That's the only thing I can think of. And now, after 17 years, it's 28 feet high, and it's almost big enough to go through the sawmill. Not quite, but you know what I mean. In fact, somebody here in Morinville Years ago, when I got my little sawmill for building our house, there was a row of trees on the street somewhere over where the gas station, the Mohawk gas station is. And they were taking the trees out for some reason. And would you like these trees for making lumber? And they were smaller than that pie plate. And I made a trip over and looked at them. I said, I think I defer. Wait until they're a little bit bigger. Well, of course, they were taking them out. If your delight and my delight, and we do delight, we wouldn't be here this morning. I don't think anybody who's here would be here if you didn't have a delight in the Word of God. And you can thank Him for that. But if is our delight what it should be? You see, He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither, whatever He does prospers. Now, I'm not planning on dying this week. I might. I hope to get those logs sawn at my place before I die. Otherwise, they'll rot. I don't know what I'm going to do with the lumber yet. A neighbor asked me for lumber. Took a whole tree to make it. And I said, not a whole tree, a whole log. And so I made it. When my brother was here, we made it together. And so there goes one log, and there's about 175 or 200 more to go. Do you want me to make a board for you? I was going to say something a little more important than that. He's like a tree planted by streams of water, yields its fruit, leaf does not wither, whatever He does prosper. And I was going to say that at this end, at this time of my life, whether the end is tomorrow or next year or 5 years from now, I don't know whether I make it past 5 years, but I may not. That's fine. I can truthfully say that since I became a believer at the age of 15, which is 70 years ago, that the Word of God, I became like that person across the street who was reading the Bible. The Word of God has become important to me. So important that I'm not going to tell you what to do. You have to deal with this yourself. But so important that I like to take advantage of every opportunity that comes my way, that is presented to me, that this church or other churches present, where I can get the word, the water of life. Because God has been so good to me, my wife, better to me than to my wife. Why you say that? Well, you know why I say that. Because I have a better wife. And then she has a husband. And I rejoice in God's goodness that I've experienced what this psalmist is talking about. And he lived three 1,000 years ago, roughly. Not a long time ago. That's longer than that tree, if he were still alive. But the Word is still alive. I'm saying this, I'm sharing this with you because I have a living example. Every time I look out the window of my house, seeing the branch going farther and farther across the deck, seeing it growing taller and taller and broader and healthy. Most of the pines in my place have died, but healthy. I just marvel and am appreciative to God who's put it there. And then I relate that to my life. And I want to share that with you. Do you want to be like that? Do you want to be like this tree? Do you, like the tree I'm talking about at my place? Or the little, beautiful little jack pine outside the window after the same length of time outside the church building here? It's your choices up to you. But it's like a horse. Do people know what a horse is? There are a couple here who have horses. You would not want me around when I was about 14, something like that. Because when I was 14-ish, I climbed a tree. I took a walk in the country where we lived in the country, southern Ontario. I climbed a tree in a pasture, and the five or six horses strolled by. And I waited my moment, and I dropped out of the tree like a thundercloud on the back of one of these horses and grabbed his mane. That's not a very healthy thing to do. In southern Ontario, in the pastures and elsewhere, was another kind of tree grew, the kind you didn't climb. It was a thorn tree, a hawthorn tree it was called. Thorns four inches, no exaggeration, maybe even longer. And those thorns die, and they go black, ugly. Well, that horse knew what he was doing, I guess. He planted its feet and swirled around, and I guess what happened to me? I went flying off its back, and I landed, guess where? Right into a 6-foot-high hawthorn. Full of those black needles. I was so thankful the horse didn't throw me face forward, because I was picking broken needles out of me, out of the backside, arms, for a couple of weeks, I guess. Maybe 3 weeks, I don't know. So you wouldn't want me around you horse owners. What would you think of me? What would you think of me if you owned the horse? I mean, I don't think the farmer ever found out. I hope he didn't. I did that twice, by the way. Didn't learn my lesson the first time. The second time, the horse ran half a mile straight, didn't buck, didn't twist. He ran right across the highway, right till the road ran out, and I'm clinging for dear life on the back of the horse. What would you think of me, you horse owners? I didn't hear that. What would you think of me if after I got off the horse, willingly or otherwise, and you came along and I started preaching the gospel to you? You wouldn't think much of the gospel. You wouldn't think much of the gospel preacher. Well, why did I tell you that story? That, I have totally forgotten why I told you that story. That's not a case of whatever he does prospers. I guess that's what I wanted to show. That isn't the prosperous way. But prosper is not just winning the 100 million jackpot. That's not prosper. I mean, that can be a rock around the neck. But prosper in always. My testimony, and I'm sure my wife's, is God has been good. He's prospered us many ways, many ways. He's prospered. It's been a good life with the thorns, But it's been a good life. It's been, and I would highly recommend to you that you consider becoming like the tree that's planted by streams of water.